Number 12A.
Yes, so we go further to the next main subject, soul. What does Paul present here to the Romans? What is gained? Reformation, yes. Reformation, which is gained through faith and not through law. So that would already also show what we had yesterday, that soul brings reformation. What else could you see there also? Well, the outcome of reformation, he presents that man really represents the sinless state of things. That in his daily life, the true man is sinless. He's not the sinner, as theology wants to teach, and that gives the true sense of soul. I think that's rather clear. Yes. Then, yes? Well, yes, their sense of law was actually not our sense of a law. They considered at that time as law only really the Jewish law, the law of the Jewish religion. All the laws and rules and bylaws and whatever they had a very large codex of laws for everyone, how to cut the beard, etc., to the smallest little detail, what you are allowed to do on a Sabbath day and what not, and so on, how many steps you are allowed to go, how much weight I think you are allowed to lift on the Sabbath day, and so on. Just every little detail of the daily life was laid down in laws. So that's again a difficult point when we read as a Western man, Romans, he speaks about the law. Naturally, we think about what we understand as law. And we think law is something very positive and something very, very positive. Whereas here now, he shows that the law actually never brings us to salvation. That it is a burden to fulfill the law. Yes. Then we come to the third. Now, through spirit, subject of spirit, what do we find there? A strengthening through the faith and strengthening the faith, both from faith to faith. And on the faith, we could understand here, say, understanding, strengthening of the understanding, strengthening of the trust in understanding, in this understood principle. Yes? Yes, you could use that. Why do you want to use that? Yes, that we had to synchronize our understanding with God's being. Yes. So that, but I think that the stronger point in it is more, not so much faith or understanding or trust, but to be strengthened in that faith, which is the strength of spirit, which we know, and he presents that to be strong in faith. That's his wording. What do we see in the last one? Mind? Yes? Yes. The moment he has that faith, and is strong in that faith, he can't help but acting in that faith to be a doer of the word. Yeah. That's mind. Mind is always acting. Mind is the doing of things. Mind. Yeah. All right. Now, we would have those three, soul, spirit, mind, showing man if we focus, say, on the roof category of Christianity, actually we bring everything into the focus point of man. Here we could see soul, spirit of mind would say man at the point of soul represents really a sinless state of things, a sinless life experience. In spirit, man is strong in his faith. He doesn't give in his faith. He's well grounded, well trusted in his faith. And at the point of mind, he is the doer of that faith. So, sinlessness, strength, doer. Now, if we consider the first four subjects and the last three subjects, can you now here in this illustration see much clearer than perhaps what we did before, that the first four are the divinely subjective state, so to say, the divinely subjective promise that he shows, which is in the Christ. But really he says, you know, and he gives them first a vision of the Godhead and said, we have now seen a new Godhead, a Godhead that is principle, and the principle always works right. And we have seen it, that this principle out of itself pours forth the gift of grace boundlessly. And he says, and we have seen that this pouring forth of the gift of grace comes to man so that man becomes now the Son of God and is no more a mortal. That is given to him the spirit of adoption. He can adopt it if he wants it. He is now entitled to adopt it. He hasn't adopted it yet, but he is now entitled to adopt naturally principle and life, to adopt that. And then Saul was showing, hey, we have found a principle that is graceful for everyone to adopt it in the whole world, no matter who you are. And therefore will be a universal saving principle. Can you see that these four are more of first giving a terrific new theory, so to say, a terrific new presentation of what has been found. But then, he says, you can already translate that. If you accept that, then that begins to objectify itself in you. Now you get the objectified sense, the divinely objectified sense. That principle, life, truth, and love sense objectifies itself now in you, brethren. You are, when you have that, you are at the point of a sinless state. You are then at the point where you don't waver anymore, where you are strong in faith, where you understand that nothing can shake you anymore. You are then at the point of mind of the doer of the world, and not just of the hearer of the world. You are then the mind manifesting itself as the doer of the world. Is that now clear about the divinely subjective, objective sense? I always found in Romans it comes out so clear as an illustration. Yes? So again we could see, well, this is actually what we have to do, is first to be at one through faith, first to understand that faith, first to understand this divine principle of being, and see what that divine principle of being includes. That therefore we address ourselves in our understanding, in our faith, to a being, to the nature of being, which says the nature of being is that it is a righteous principle, always working rightly, always working in a principled way, and it's a principle that is life pouring forth more than what we accept. That principle is truth. It is giving to each one of us the consciousness that we can be the Son of God, that we can accept ourselves as the Son of God, and not as a sinner. It is still that divine principle that as love tells us, you know, this belongs to everyone. You don't have to make a distinction. You can heal the everyone. You don't first have to ask, are you a Christian Scientist or are you not a Christian Scientist? It can come to the atheist, it can come to the religious man, it can come to the physicist, to the chemist, to the psychologist, it can come to anyone. This is a universal principle. It's not limited to any kind of classification, human classification, or racial classification, or religious classification. This is it. If you take it, then you have a new consciousness. You have a sinless consciousness. You are a different man. You are reformed, and you are a different man. You have a new paradigm. You have chosen as the ground of your consciousness, as the principle. principle of your consciousness, you have chosen a new paradigm, the paradigm of principle, life, truth and love. And therefore this exemplifies itself in you as being a different man, as a sinless state of things. And you will be strong in it. Because you understand it, you cannot be shaken anymore. You will never be, will never waver. Is that the right term? Waver. Yeah. And you can't help anymore but do what you understand. The Christ has touched you, now the Christ works in you as the doer of the world. Yeah. That's the great message. So actually, we could stop here with Romans. We have seen that, because that, I think, is that which sticks with us for all our life. I don't think you will ever forget it anymore, because it's nothing you have to memorize. I saw this in 1952, and that night I told you, it has never left me. I didn't have to go back to it. I hardly did read Romans anymore afterwards until just a few weeks ago. I thought I should read it again for this seminar. But the main line just sticks. Once you have touched it, I'm fed quite a bit, not my head, but quite a bit, I would bet, that from now on, you, after 10 years, after 20 years, you still will remember that, because it's so natural to the naturalness of being. It's so adapted to our being. It's nothing foreign. That once you have the touch of the Christ idea, as we said 2 days ago, and then we have the touch of the Christ order as a field, then I think as a symbolization you will always remember Paul, the letter to the Romans. Yes, couldn't you? All right, fine. Do it without looking on your notes. You can do it. You can do it now without looking on your notes. Principle, you can do it. No, no, it's the easiest one. Principle, it's principle, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That always works right. Yeah. Then you come to life. What does that principle do? Yes. What's our being? He says grace and gift. You say, and we say, it floods our whole being. Yes. And so? Yeah. Yeah, it's a gift. And we come to truth. Yeah. Yes. Permeates our consciousness. So we begin to feel that man is actually consciousness. We have the spirit of the Son of God, the spirit of adoption. That's his terminology. Your terminology is that we have the spirit of consciousness. Yeah. Anna's love. For everyone. Everyone will be saved. Yes. Yeah. You can't escape salvation. Nobody. Yes. Or you come to soul. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. A representation of God as in a sinless state. We are reformed. Yeah, spirit. Yeah, all. Yes. And mind. Yeah. So do it. You see? Everybody can do it. See, that's the method you should use that you try and put your notes down, instead of always reading notes. Put them down now and say, now, did I get it? Did I hear the melody? And then you try to do it. And then perhaps at one point you are a bit insecure. Then go and look into your notes. Not before. Then help. Take the help of the notes and look it up and say, oh yes, why could I forget? Yes, I would have known it. That's your reaction. And you go on. And you do that again next day, and perhaps you have to look up the notes again somewhere, but after the second, third day, it's there. It's there. You walk along the road and you just say, what did that terrific man called Paul, you know, that whale of a man, what did he tell those Romans? That's the very first thing he had seen. Golly, he had seen a new principle, He had seen through that Christ revelation, he had seen a terrific new principle. From now on, the principle is no more my law books of the Jews that tell me what I should do and what I am allowed to do and what I am not allowed to do. Now from now on, I have an infinite divine principle that is always working right. I don't have to work right. Principle now works right. Huh? And you just go on in that tonality and you just feel, and that principle that works right is constantly coming to me. If I trust in it, it's constantly coming to me as a gift of God. It's flooding me. It's given to me. It's a terrific gift. Why should I always ask and ask and ask if God always gives and gives and gives and gives me more than what I can take? You see, and you get the sense that really you are now under the shower of all the nice gifts that God gives us. Whatever we need, individually what we need, He's giving us as a free gift. And you certainly feel, well, then really I am quite a different man. Then I'm not a mortal. Then I have really the consciousness of the spirit of adoption. I can adopt it. I'm the heir of God. I can say yes to this gift. And you have a new consciousness. And you begin to feel, and this is actually at the hand of everybody. The Chinese could have it, the Eskimos could have it, the Russians could have it, even the Americans could have it. Everybody could have it. Even Boston could have it if they would like to have it. You see? So you get a terrific sense that actually this is at the disposition of the whole world. So it's not our job to run after them and say, hey, here I have something, wouldn't you like it? And he said, no, I don't like it. Now we have a principle that is at the hand of everybody, and we know that principle is going to save in his own way, because it's love in his own way, everyone. We don't have always to think, well, poor old Chinese and poor old Russians and so on, why can't they see it and why can't they get their salvation? They will get it in the right time. The first thing we have to do is to get it ourselves. That's the main point. And to have that spirit of adoption that says, all right, I take it from me. So that's the main point, principle, life, truth, love, which after a while we feel, my golly, this has changed me. I'm quite different. I have a different attitude. I have much more a reformed attitude, a sinless attitude. I'm different. Something has happened to me. So the new has come into me, and has taken the place of the old. Soul exchanges. And you feel, well, this is something I can rely on. And you feel more and more a strength within you that whatever will come as experience across our life, I rely on that. I trust that. With every new experience, I have more faith. So I have faith to faith. And I get stronger in it, more trusting in it. And as I trust more in it, I behave as if I would be it. I do it. And I become much more a doer of the word and at the tone of mind. You see that? That's what Paul told me. Yeah. Yes, that's the nice story. Now, we could take the subtones a little bit and just elaborate on those main tones so that after a day or so, we really feel that we have caught the feel of it, or the very letter that Paul wrote to Rome. Now, when we consider the subtones, we find quite an interesting point. The whole epistle is laid out in the Christ order, but then when we consider the subtones, they are suddenly in the word order. Well, this seems to be something we have heard before. Somehow we have heard before that in the scientific translation of Immortal Mind we have the Christ order, and in the scientific translation of Mortal Mind at the end, understanding, faith, understanding is in the word order. We have seen yesterday, what does it mean? It means that when the Christ is in operation through the Christ order, it touches always, as we have seen then in the human, the first degree, the evil beliefs, the depravity. And begins to overturn and overturn and overturn. The impact of the Christ on those beliefs is terrific, and it begins to work on it and overturn it until finally, in the third degree, a light appears. We see the light, wisdom. And with that wisdom we have caught on to the word order. It triggers off the word order. That wisdom says, oh, I have to keep it pure. So after wisdom we have purity. I have to keep it pure. After that purity, there is nothing else anymore there which is interfering, so I have that transparent spiritual understanding with which I can work now. And this spiritual understanding is then to me a terrific power, a principled power, spiritual power, as a force. And that principled power is able to lay down every false mortal sense within me. Up to that point, I would have not enough power, except I would try it with willpower or with religious power, to lay down a mortal sense of it, because it's too big. The mortal belief in us, the mortal characteristics in us are so powerful that a religious sense, a human sense, can hardly cope with it. You have to leave it really to the spiritual power of God, to the time when the spiritual power of God is strong enough to overcome the mortal within me and to free us from that. That's why it is love with a small s. And give us a new form, a new health, a new stature, a new standard of manhood, which is always full at the point of holiness, of wholeness. No taint of error in it anymore. So you see, every time the Christ translation takes place, when we then consider what happens in the mortal, not in the divine. What happens in the mortal, we'll see the 7 days of creation. You see the word order appearing. Quite different would it be if we would go along with the Christ order, and only along with the Christ order. Then, at the point of mind, where we see that this Christ order only manifests ideas of mind, then we could say, then I have a universe of ideas, and I go to Christianity. So always the question that we ask will define if the Christ order goes to the Word or if it goes further to the Christianity. Here, he must go to the Word, because he has to deal with the Jewish thought, with the Old Testament thought, with the thought of the law, that you can only be saved through doing the works of the law. So the Christ impact now touches a wrong sense of religion, and therefore slowly, step by step, a new sense has to appear. And every time a new sense has to appear out of darkness, out of ignorance, then naturally you have the word order. So you can understand here why Paul II would present the Christ order as the subtones, always bringing out the word order, a new sense of it. Is that clear? Huh? The reason. I mean, we have to think these things out clearly, so that we are not tempted always first to put forth a hypothesis and then try to prove a hypothesis. Like so often I have heard, well, if it is in the Christ order, the subtones should also be in the Christ order. Why should they? Being never is under our must, because we have a restricted sense of the system. We have to see what the system itself tells us, and that is what it tells us.